Well, the Christmas story begins in darkness. That's why we do candlelight service. Now, it's not going to be real dark when we go out there, but it'll be nice because that's the story. There was the darkness of oppression. Now, you might think I'm reading some things from our newspaper or television and so forth, things that are going on when we live today. Life is the same today, whether it was when Jesus' time, we still have the challenges of this world. Oppression, mostly for God's people. They were a conquered people at that time, if you remember. They were under Roman control. And they were beaten and defeated people. There was the darkness of persecution, and it was despised with universal taxation. That's why Mary and Joseph left Nazareth to go to Bethlehem in order to pay their taxes and do the census. The story together on that fateful night, there was darkness of disillusionment. There was ever increasing number who felt that violence, not faith, was the most effective path in this world. Yeah, even on that very first Christmas, the mood was one of despair and resignation. And thus it was, and then, and thus it is now, 2025, we too live in a world of darkness. There's wars and rumors of wars, hunger, unemployment, racism, loneliness, a sense of emptiness. I love some of the poets, and Robert Frost is one of mine, and he might be one of yours too, because he worded it this way, and I think it was really special the way that he worded it. He said, and I quote, "I have been acquainted with the night, and I have walked in the rain and out of the rain." I have been acquainted with the night. I don't have to tell any of you about the darkness, because in one form or another, at one time or another, it has touched each and every life. Everyone here tonight has been touched by darkness. And I think all of us understand that, because we don't come here this evening to deny the existence of darkness. Because nowhere in Scripture do we receive a pep talk and an argument that things really aren't as bad as they seem. Rather, it affirms that the darkness is real and it is present. That's why when we light candles, and it's amazing, candles, we didn't have electricity way back when, but they had candles and the little lamps of olive oil, and how they had the light that would come in. And in the darkness of the night, that one little flicker of light dispels the darkness. But it also affirms that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The prophet Isaiah wrote this, "People who walk in darkness have seen a great light." John's gospel records, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Thus, we come together, we sing the words, "And yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light." Well, you know, our country is a very amazing country in a lot of ways. We're an exceptional country. Not that we're better than anybody else. We're just an exceptional country. We are ruled by the rule of law. The Constitution is our base. Judeo-Christian principles on the founding of our country. And we also had experienced a time in our history where we had a civil war. Stan has a ministry of making sure every Civil War grave is marked. He works along with a lot of other fellows. And if you ever look around in our cemetery here, you'll see a Confederate flag on some, American flags on the other. And it was a sad time in our country. But guess what? We had reconciliation. And we've come together again under the grace of God to be one nation under God. Now, that was a sibling dispute, basically, you know, between brothers and uncles and aunts and sisters, and they all fought. You know, some in this family fought, some of them, you know, you remember the story of the Civil War. I said all that to tell you this, because this is one of my most favorite Civil War stories, which is true. You've probably heard me tell it before, but if you have, bear with me. Petersburg, Virginia, in 1864, the Confederate Army, led by Robert E. Lee, faced the Union division of General Ulysses S. Grant. The war was now 3.5 years old, and the glorious charge had long since given way to the muck and the mire of trench warfare. Late one evening, one of Lee's generals, Major George Pickett, received word that his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. Up and down the line of the Southern soldiers began starting building bonfires in celebration of the event. These fires did not go unnoticed. The Northern camps were not too far away, and soon a nervous General Grant sent out a reconnaissance patrol to see what was going on. The soldiers returned back to him and giving this message. General Pickett had a son, and he was just born, and these were celebration fires. And so it happened that Grant and Pickett were contemporaries at West Point before the Civil War. They were contemporaries at West Point. And they knew each other well. So to honor the occasion, Grant ordered the bonfire should be built on both sides. What a peculiar night that must have been. For miles on both sides, the fires lined and they burned. No shots were fired, no yelling back and forth, no war fought, only celebrating the birth of a child. But it didn't last forever, as you know. Soon the fires burned down, and once again darkness took over, and the darkness of night and the darkness of war continued. But there's good news of Christ's Mass. We commonly call it Christmas, but it's really Christ's Mass. Mass is a celebration of Christ, and that's what we're here tonight, celebrating a Christ's Mass. In the midst of that deep darkness, there came a light. And the darkness was not able to overcome that light. It was not just a temporary flicker, it was an eternal flame. And I think we all need to remember that times and the events of the world and the events in our own personal lives, that we feel that the light will be snuffed out. But I love the buts and the ifs. The Christmas story affirms that whatever happens, the light still shines. Now, the ancient Hebrews were afraid of darkness. They were particularly afraid of the place they called outer darkness. To them, creation began when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. To them, where there was only darkness, there was only void and emptiness. And one of the great meanings and hope must have been for them when they heard Jesus refer to himself as the light of the world. And we're talking about in the spiritual sense, but we also have light in the physical sense. But the spiritual sense, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." It gave them hope. So when we hear these words on Christmas time and the families of Ethiopia are suffering and all the Christians being persecuted in Nigeria and all the challenges we have in our own country, we need to hear these words. This family of war-torn Israel and Jewish and Palestinians are overwhelmed with grief. We need to hear these words as family of others that are suffering in this season. I had a parishioner send me a text early on, said they wouldn't be here tonight. Her husband just came from triple bypass surgery, and he's recovering nicely. That's good, but he just wasn't up to it. And she said, "This is not going to be a very Merry Christmas for us." And I understand that, and I told her, I said, "No. Merry Christmas is not for everybody because sometimes it's not merry, but," again, I love the buts in the end, "it is because of Christ that we can have joy in our heart, even if we have some challenging things that we're dealing with." But the darkness is real. But because of Christmas, it'll never get so dark that you can't see the light. Into the darkness, God sent an eternal light. And as we walk outside this evening, a little later on, you'll notice that the darkness does not intrude upon the light, although it won't probably be dark when we go out. But you know what happens when the sun goes down and it gets dark. Light is always stronger than darkness. And the forces of light are stronger than the forces of darkness. The greatest need in our mixed up and confused world this day is to let people know there is hope. My people perish because of no hope. But God's people won't perish because we do have hope. And the hope is eternal life. Yeah, in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations. Jesus told us that. He says, but fear not, I've overcome the world. And we have to go through all these things. It's like growing in grace. You know, we have a challenge here. We work through it. Next time you know, there's another challenge. But if you keep God's perspective in your life, you can deal with all that stuff. So what do you think that God chose to use a star to guide the wise men to Bethlehem? And I'm convinced that it was not by accident. It was an eternal reminder to them that in the sea of darkness, it is the light that keeps going forward. It's the light of Christ that gives us the joy and the peace that we have tonight as we come and celebrate the birth of Christ 2,000 plus years ago. You know, it's amazing. Christ changed the world in a lot of ways. You know, even then the calendars changed from A.D., after death, or B.C., before Christ, and that's when a new event took place. And it's amazing that God humbled himself as a baby to come into this world through the virgin birth, through the birth canal, like you and I come into this world, but without sin, because Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. But he experienced everything that we experience in this life. That's what makes him the most perfect intercessor, because he's experienced it. Everything, up to and including death. But I love the buts and the ifs, because of the being crucified on the cross, and he cried out, and it's a prophecy from Psalm 22, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He felt that brief separation from his Father. And you wonder why. Because God could not be in the presence of sin, because blood sacrifice had to cover sin. And when God looked at his Son, he saw all of our sins on his shoulder. But when he gave up the ghost, the vent in the temple rent in two, the church. Because up to that point, only priests could go into the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus died and gave up the ghost, that veil was rent in two, signifying that we have direct access to God through Christ. No longer do we have to have a priest or anybody else to pray for our sins, because we can pray for ourselves, because we have direct access because of Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So in this Christmas season, I hope and pray that you develop your faith a little bit more and study the scriptures and encourage one another. We have a wonderful story to tell, and the world needs to hear it. And if you've already accepted Christ in your life, we rejoice. If you're just thinking about it, do some research. Think about it. Connect with somebody that is a Christ follower to help you work through some things. It'll be the best decision that you ever made in your life.